Let's bring in Matt Lodi, NEO Sports Insiders. Going to talk a little Tribe. Matt, I know we haven't had a lot of baseball, but how are you, my man?
I'm good, Sam. How are you?
Good grief. Mother Nature is just throwing a lot of Uncle Fernando Scroogey balls at us here the first couple weeks of the season. Impossible for guys to get into any kind of a groove. Terry's had to mess around with the rotation. I guess we should be happy here, what, 500 after a handful of games, and we know we will play. Looks like we're going to play all of our games coming up this week with no problem. So that'll be good to get back into the groove.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, the weekend forecast for Northeast Ohio looks as good as it's been since probably mid-February, I think. I mean, obviously it's been on and off with the temperatures, but the fact that we're going to see sunny skies and temperatures into the 60s for Friday, Saturday, Sunday looks good. And then the following week against Seattle, I mean, that remains to be seen. But, you know, the thing, Sam, right now, as you mentioned, the rotation and the fact that guys like Josh Tomlin are really, getting the short end of the stick, if you will, just because of the fact that, you know, he was supposed to start, is not going to start, and now is going to get pushed back because you can't sit your ace, Corey Kluber, for too long. And if the team did try to go with Josh on Tuesday night, Corey would be totally out of his element. Not necessarily a terrible thing this early in the year, but, you know, the thing that has really bugged me about all these rainouts, you know, the Indians have had three postponements already, is this is the time of year that guys take extra BP on the field. It's the time of the year that guys get to take ground balls on the field. And, you know, really, they've not been able to do that. They've only taken outdoor batting practice one time in the first four games and really what's supposed to be the first six games. So hopefully, again, getting down to Tampa in that dome, they'll be able to do some more things. And then back here for the Mets this weekend, things should get going a little bit more, if you will, instead of this stop-start situation they've been in.
It may be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, I guess, with Michael Brantley's situation. Now he's going to be down at Columbus. They've had like three times they've got postponed, but it's games that the Indians haven't played. They will play later. Hopefully Michael will be a part of that. So I guess that's a little bit of the good news out of all this.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think with Michael, we've spoken about it more than once already. I still think he's a couple weeks away, but at the same time, I think they're going to get a good indication of how close he truly is after seeing him play in some real games. I mean, he played in those couple games in Goodyear, and then they kind of stopped him a little bit just because they didn't want to push him too much. And I understand that. Again, you're talking about early part of the season. You don't want to have your star player injured any more than he already is. And, you know, this is a delicate situation. I mean, this isn't a guy who just is getting over, maybe a shoulder stinger or maybe a sprained ankle, but like a tweaked ankle or anything. I mean, this is a guy who had surgery. And again, as we've talked about, I would be remiss if I didn't say that I felt like this was a deal where if any time you get him back before May 1, you're in bonus situation. I really do believe that. And that's why I still think you're already at the 12th today or 11th today. And by the time you see him at the major league level, I still think it's going to be early May. And I think that's not a terrible thing because you are getting a look at guys like Joey Butler and Colin Cowgill and Rajah Davis and, you know, players of that Marlon Byrd, even players of that stature that, you know, we're going to see if these guys belong at this level and with this ball club, because once Brantley comes back, somebody's got to probably go, if you will.
Talking to Matt Lodi, NEO Sports Insiders, talking a little Tribe here on 1590 WAKR. Give me your take on big Mike Napoli at the plate so far this year. Got a couple long balls. Looks comfortable. I know the batting averages and all that right now, but it's really early. What's your take on Napoli?
I'm sorry, my phone cut out. What name did you mention? I'm sorry.
Mike Napoli. He looks comfortable at the plate since opening day, right?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that, Sam, is he is taking pitches. And, you know, when you look at the fact that the middle of this lineup is going to be dominated by Napoli and Santana, you love a guy like a Mike Napoli, who I read a stat this morning. He's already averaging 5.2 pitches per at-bat, which is really pretty good. I mean, you might think that's not a big deal, but, you know, when you can make a pitcher work, and I remember in the opener against David Price, if a lot of people probably remember, he had an 11-pitch at-bat before striking out, called third strike, but it got Price working to the point where the Indians were able to get across their only runs of the game in that inning. So, to me, I think it's all bonus. I love it, the fact that he's making pitchers work, the fact that he's, you know, he's driving the ball the other way a little bit. You mentioned the home run the other day. I mean, this is a guy who the Indians, I really do go back to last season, and I think that they thought this guy was Brandon Moss, and it just didn't work out. and they went out this year in the free agent market. They looked at, you know, again, a right-handed power bat, and they've already got a couple home runs from the right side, which is something I know that they're really happy about at this point, especially with the fact that everybody thought that this was going to be the huge Achilles heel with this ball club, that they weren't going to hit from the right side. And so far, Napoli's been fantastic, and like I mentioned just now, you know, the fact that he's hit a couple home runs and the fact that he's taking pitches, I think is going to be a big asset for this club.
Yeah, and boy, if he could just keep that up. Look, if Knapp can hit 25, 28 home runs, I'll take 235, 240 out of him all year. I could care less about his batting average. Let's look at the pen a little bit. And everything's got to be prefaced with the, I know it's early. But I don't know about you, Matt, but it was a bizarre feeling that I had the other day when Brian Shaw came in and just had a really tough outing. I don't know what it was, but I almost felt that coming for some reason. And I know that, again, one outing and this, that, and the other. Any concerns at all about Shaw moving forward here in the pen and what his duties are?
Well, I don't really think so yet, Sam. I mean, again, it is early. And the one thing about Brian, though, that I'm a little bit concerned about is how much that he's pitched over the last
year.
I mean, there was a year, I believe it was 2 years ago, where literally his arm looked like it was going to fall off. I mean, figuratively, of course. But, you know, he was out there almost every single night. And it wasn't a situation, Sam, where he was coming out and pitching like a third of an inning. He was out there for one, maybe one and a third, sometimes two innings, and, you know, trying to keep this team in games. And I'm not necessarily concerned about him, but, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have outings like you had the other day in Chicago, and you got to wonder, you know, when is Terry – if Terry's confidence, I guess, in Brian is going to wane a little bit, especially with the fact that, you know, if there is an Achilles heel, you know, looking at this team on paper going into the season, I definitely think it was the middle to starting to get to that seventh, eighth inning part of the bullpen. I don't think there's any question – it's why that there was some banter a day or two before the season started or coming out of Goodyear that they were interested in looking at Texas as a trade partner for a couple of their back-end bullpen guys, because they've got some good ones down there, and the Indians, again, you know, did not pull the trigger on that. And I'm not to say that something could change down the road, but, you know, when you're running out Ross Detweiler, when you're running out, you know, like you said, Brian Shaw, players of that caliber, and they're not getting the job done, that's a killer. I mean, because, you know, you can't even get to Cody Allen in the ninth inning. And, you know, it worked the other night with Zach McAllister and Brian in the win over Boston here in Cleveland, the game on Wednesday night, but certainly kind of imploded on him the other day in Chicago with Brian. So I have a feeling Zach McAllister is one guy you've got to watch. He's going to get more time in the bullpen. And, you know, you wonder with Josh not starting now if he's going to have to shift to the bullpen a little bit just because – you know, you can't just let that arm sit there forever. He's going to have to pitch at some point, and it'll be interesting to see if Terry decides to put him in the pen for a day or two.
Matt, I think that we're going to make that White Sox game up, the traditional doubleheader, May 23rd. Yep. Any word on the Red Sox postponement yet? Did I miss that, or what's going on there? Anything?
No, they haven't yet. And the problem with that, Sam, and we were talking about this quite a bit last week at the stadium, is the fact that that was Boston's only trip in.
Right.
They don't come back again. It's not like an AL Central team where you're going to play 18 times like Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota. So really what the Indians in Boston are going to have to do here, Dave Dombrowski and Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, they're going to have to sit down and figure out what's a good off day for both teams, and an off day not only where the Red Sox can come to Cleveland, but also where both teams are probably – one team at least is going to have to be in the midst of a homestand.
Right.
You know, if the Indians are out west and, let's say, Boston, for example, are playing down in Tampa against the division rival, you're not just going to suddenly – and you each have an off day. You're not just going to suddenly stop everything, come back to Cleveland, play one game, and the Indians are going to fly back to where they were, and Boston's going to fly back to where they were. So that's going to be a tough one. I haven't even looked at the dates yet of what might pair up, but I'm sure that, you know, that this thing's going to probably be a little while in the making before they decide what day is going to work for them. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if it's probably – another week or two before they finally come to a conclusion. Plus, you know how it is. Once they get that decided, it's got to go through the players' union.
Right.
You know, players have to agree on it. So the White Sox one was simple because, again, they play them so many times. They're just saying, all right, let's just tack it on to a first game, or I should say, let's make it a first game of a doubleheader, where the Boston one is a lot more complicated. And again, that's the danger of playing baseball early in April, is this weather is so conducive to bad conditions. I mean, imagine again if the Indians were home today, it would have been a challenge with the rain and everything. So, thankfully, as I said earlier in our conversation, the weather's going to get to start to turn finally this weekend. I think the three Mets games, as I said earlier, are going to be no problem whatsoever, at least according to the 5 day that I've seen. And then hopefully the Seattle series will be the same way the following week, because they've got two at home in the evening again, those 6 o'clock starts, and then they have another noon game on Thursday of that week. So hopefully we can get those six in, and then again the weather should be finally changing for good. Hopefully, I heard one local forecaster say that that we will not see any more snow until late in the year, which means September, October, November, somewhere there. Hopefully he's right, because it was kind of a bummer this weekend with all that snow on the ground.
Boy, no kidding. Matt Lodi joining us, NEOSportsInsiders.com. Real quick, Matt, before I go, just give me a quick peek at the division. Little surprise, Minnesota's off to an 0-6 start. KC picking up right where they left off.
Yeah, there's no doubt. KC is still a very, very good baseball team. And, you know, the Tigers right now are playing at home against Pittsburgh, and they're actually losing. And that's good news for Indians fans. Because, you know, again, as you start to look at this thing and how it's going to shape out, you certainly don't want to get too behind too early. And, you know, the Royals at 4-1, the Tigers at 3-1. I mean, those are two teams that I think the Indians are certainly going to have to compete with. Chicago is going to be one of those middle-of-the-road teams. I think they can come out on any given night and put up 10 runs and on any given night give up 10 runs. So, you know, I think the Indians are certainly still looking up just a little bit at Detroit and Kansas City, and hopefully they can find a way to get past those two teams, because obviously it's going to be a very difficult decision. I've seen many people, Sam, say that the AL Central is the best division in baseball. I don't think that's too much of a stretch with some of the players on these teams that are playing right now, especially Kansas City, Cleveland, and Detroit.